Call.
Let's do it.
Hey, we're recording.
Civil Service Meeting, Special Meeting, February 4th, 2025. Present are Lee Nathans, Rachel Lang, Emily Buckley, and the City Attorney, Mark Fischel. And we believe are here to make the last review of our four-year project.
Yeah, I apologize for setting the wrong version. That was obviously on me. So I think we have the correct version this time.
I think we do.
I also had my secretary proof it, and she's going to fix the table of contents, of course, once you guys say okay. And I know there's still some stuff that are underlined that we agreed to change, that I thought you guys wanted to change. And then she found one mistake that I haven't had a chance to look at. That
I wonder, I caught something. I'll wait and see.
No, that's fine.
I'm curious if, because I had never caught it before, and I had looked at this.
Right, this is one she caught that appears to have been a mistake, maybe even going back to the old version. It's a section that's entitled incorrectly or something.
Yeah, exactly. I found a misspelling. Yeah.
Oh, no, this was a wrong word, so okay. We'll get the misspelling,
okay.
Too.
All right.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I'm accessing it right now, sorry.
So our goal tonight would be to just confirm changes that were made. And then if there's any additional changes like that, Rachel, that we see, we would want to make those as well. And then the ultimate goal coming out of this meeting would be to have rules that we can then bring to council for their review and approval.
Right.
And for my side, I just want some clarity on one of those sections.
Yeah, and I saw that Lee, I had a question that you had reflected on the January 8th meeting when it was just us, sans Mark, about the, and I marked it in here too.
Promotion.
The developing the list question.
Right.
Yep.
That was,
yep. Yeah, I had marked that too. So John, I don't know, I saw that your email had like an itemized list of a few different things. Did you find additional?
I have questions, and I have highlighted, Lee and I had talked about the sergeant's list and so forth.
All right, well, tell me where you want me to go.
Let's start from the top. Do you mind if we just start from the top, and then we can
sequentially, right.
Yeah.
Okay, table of contents, any questions?
No, I only had one super nitpicky thing, and I don't know if this is where your administrative assistant found something or not, which makes me want to look again, but chapter 16, we don't have any slash marks. Like, it doesn't matter, Mark, really, truly, we know this, but should layoffs reductions be layoffs and reductions? Layoffs?
No, it should be layoffs slash reductions. I mean, I think that's sort of how it's referred to in the civil service world, I would
Mark
say.
Mark likes slash Mark. Okay, that's
well,
my
there opinion. I do. Maybe not some other place.
I'm just teasing.
So
that's
don't paint me with a broad brush here.
Mark likes slash this slash Mark. How about that?
Go.
Okay, okay.
So this one. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not what she caught.
No, that isn't. On page 3, these are just spacing things. I know that we have the like almost like the journalism spacing, and I'm not looking at any of that stuff, but it looks like under on subsection 2, there may be an additional space between full and time.
In what line?
Subsection
2.
Line
3.
2.
Okay.
And maybe if someone else's version doesn't show it, but I went through with a fine tooth comb as if I were.
Yeah, if it was there, she fixed it because it's not showing up in mine.
And then in between 10 and 11, it looks as if there's an additional space.
10 and 11, paragraphs 10 and 11.
Yeah. And again.
Yep, there is.
Okay.
Hang on. Oops. I keep missing where I need to be.
Anything on 4?
Well, actually, never mind. There's, all right, I got it.
No, I don't have anything until.
Wait a second. I need to save this version because it was in my email before I go any farther.
And this is the version that's draft revised rules 1/14/25.
Right,
okay.
Only with her whatever
her changes that we haven't seen.
Right, and again, there's nothing substantive or even just spacing and things like that she may have fixed.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. Civil service. Got rid of all my prior versions so I don't send the wrong ones out again. All right, go ahead.
Page 5, I have a question.
Okay.
And probably silly, but it refers to Chapter 124 of the Ohio Revised Code, and other places it refers to the Charter. But what if those change?
Well, If Chapter 124 of the Revised Code changes, the civil service rules would have to change to mirror that. If the Charter changes, then we would need to change the rules as well. So, but I'm not going to say Chapter 124 would not change ever, but it's not likely to happen in the near future. But that's the answer.
Yep. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Page 6, like, honestly, I don't lose any sleep over this, Mark, but since we're doing it, I've noticed that sometimes, if you look at 3.1, 3.2, 3.3, my version, sometimes they're bolded, sometimes they're not bolded on the underline. I don't think it matters, but I would just be consistent.
Yeah, I don't want to bold it on the underline, looks stupid, so I will get rid of it.
Should that be capitalized? I'm on 8.
Yeah, I don't know if I can think of another instance where
I'm trying to unbold it.
Yeah, I don't know how to unbold it.
I think it's a
where
formatting.
There's lines. Like,
yeah, the problem.
3.2 has appeals. 3.3 doesn't have
anything. That was
3.4
my other comment.
A caption.
They all have a caption except 3.3, I think. I just noticed that.
Well, 3.1 and 3.3 don't.
All right, well, let's caption them right now. 3.1 is about the jurisdiction. So let's call it jurisdiction. And all those underlines on, like, on 3.1 A and B are going away as well once we're done.
Underlines on
I was noticing that, do you see how this is darker, this is lighter, this is darker on the underline?
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter at all, but
I don't think I'm going to be able to fix that without
should this?
I don't know. I'll ask Mark is going to be the answer on that one.
I don't think I can fix
those,
because the part of the problem has been
you in Word? Are you in Google?
I'm in Word,
okay.
But it was converted from a PDF, and
that gets wonky.
It gets wonky,
and
I did not want to
sometimes.
Right, and I did not want to make my secretary retype all of this.
It's not the end of the world.
So, if we're captioning 3.3, would that be authority?
I'm calling it jurisdiction.
One
jurisdiction is
3.1.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yes. 3.3. Let me get to 3.3. Sorry about that.
Should civil service be capitalized in 3.3?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Because it is up here. That's why. Is that what you mean?
Well, it's capitalized everywhere else, I think. But
well, I mean, again, the civil service of the city is traditionally capitalized. I don't think it really matters. But the authority sounds good for 3.3.
Oh, you know what, Mark? It's making the reason why those underline things are happening is because they're collapsible sections.
Okay.
Is how the PDF was formatted.
Right, some of them are collapsible
and
some of them
aren't. And so that's why it's doing
that. What's a collapsible section?
So you could probably click it and it goes away, or click it and it comes
back. Okay, that's
right
fine.
Here. So
all right. I will have her look at those two things, but I call it jurisdiction and authority.
And I think what John was pointing out is under 3.3, newly titled authority.
Yeah.
Civil service is capitalized in line 2. Civil service is not capitalized in line 5. And I think it was just to make it consistent within that paragraph.
Got it. Yep. I'm going to capitalize them both.
Thank you. Are we on to page 7?
Yeah, I don't have any.
Let's save this as a go.
On page 8.
So just one point of clarity here.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the jurisdiction as described in section 3.1. Where does the interface of the negotiated agreement Does that need to be reflected anywhere?
No.
Or is that...
It doesn't need to be, and it's not normally reflected because it's just happens as an as a matter of law. By operation of law, the contract under 4117.10A of the revised code, it supersedes. I've only looked at it a few times over 30 years.
Do you repeat these things in your sleep?
I try not to, but you're right. It does get a little ridiculous. Or it can. I just want people to know I just changed 4.3A from whatever weird verbiage it was. It just didn't read well. I changed it to whenever a position is changed for any reason instead of whenever a position for any reason is changed.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't make sense to me. Or this makes more sense. It doesn't change anything substantively.
Yeah, this just sounded a little bit like from James' version initially.
That's right. And again, that's...
What?
I think he just reflected it. Yeah.
But I don't know.
What does it say now, Mark?
Whenever a position is changed for any reason.
It's changed. Thank you.
Yeah, you're definitely right about the collapsible thing, because whether it's not, like 5.1 is not collapsible and it doesn't have a mold.
It had have just been when the PDF.
I'm gonna have to figure out, have my secretary figure that one out.
Okay.
Anything on 9?
My thoughts are with
10?
The only thing on 10
should
was.
Should retype the whole thing?
The only thing on 10 is that under 5.2 furnishing of Chapter 19 orders, subsection A, there's a series of, I think, three things without commas. I think it reads a lot easier if we'd put a comma after when it is personally transmitted to the employee, comma. When it is mailed to the employee by certified mail, there is a comma. Return receipt requested. Huh.
Yeah.
Comma. Or yeah. When
so when it is personally transmitted to the employee, comma, when it is, yeah, absolutely.
Because when I was reading that, I just did a full reread, so not a big deal.
And
doesn't change
comma,
anything.
But yeah, no, it definitely needs to be there. And then,
probably
there should
comma
be a comma
before the
or.
Eliminated
yeah.
after
yeah.
certified mail, right?
Yes.
It would, or just place.
No,
it
should that comma stays.
For,
and then
for
there's
that.
A comma after the word requested on
mm-hmm.
that line. Yep. The Oxford comma, all for it, baby.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like it too.
Page 11. Page 12.
I still want to know why abolish mints is not a word. Spell check.
Well,
guys,
it says, oh, no.
No,
right.
it spell check
abolish
always tells me abolish mint.
Mints.
With an S, abolish mints is not a word. But it's at least a word
in
civil
world.
Service. Yeah. They all, you don't have the computer version, so you don't see that
well,
it's flagged as misspelled.
Abolishment is recognized. Abolishments
is not, right.
Plural.
That makes no sense. Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
Page
we digress.
13. Page 14. Page 15.
Oh, we're on a roll. Keep going, John.
Oh, you just jinxed it, Rachel.
I'm getting excited.
I couldn't get the page separated here. Page 17, or are we back on 16 now?
No, we're good.
17, page 18.
Okay, I have one question.
Okay,
all right, one question
cool.
on 18. Okay, under 5.8A2, this is just a question for you, Mark. Why
mm-hmm.
did we make the opposing party, why did they only get to review and copy? Why can't we just make, why can't that just be available electronically?
You're right. It's just old language out of civil service law that's existed previously. So there's no reason why you can't just simply say, within 7 calendar days of receipt of a written request, the party shall permit the opposing party to, I'm sorry. It should say, within 7 calendar days of receipt of a request, the party shall provide any documents
intended
to be introduced
at
hearing. Yes.
What section is this, please?
This is on page 18.
And yeah, that doesn't make any
under
that's
discovery.
old language.
But
7 calendar.
Let's go back. Within 7 calendar days of receipt of a written request.
Yeah.
Okay. They can't do that online.
No, they would have to submit something.
Fine.
In writing, that's right.
Mm-hmm. A filing of some sort.
And
then
it's between the parties. If there's a case that involved a lot of video, it might be a flash drive. So parties shall provide any documents. All right, I'm going to type this and then read it to make sure it's correct.
Shall provide to the opposing party?
Shall provide to the opposing party, right. Any documents intended to be introduced at the hearing.
Do you think documents encompasses all evidence, or do you think it should be more expansive, like...
Let's do evidence.
Files, okay.
I think evidence. I'm going to do it above... And one, it's also evidence.
So we're removing documents and replacing it with evidence?
Right. So I'll read it to you. This is 5-8A, paragraph 2. Within 7 calendar days of receipt of a written request, the party shall provide to the opposing party evidence intended to be introduced at a hearing.
I like it. Now, should we make it consistent with number one above?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So, a list of both witnesses and
evidence. Yeah.
When you say evidence, when you would know, is that something that has to be entered and logged, like at a criminal trial or civil trial?
This is going to be something close to discovery in a criminal case, and ultimately the hearing examiner is probably going to rule on what comes in and what doesn't, but they would, right? I mean, I don't know how much, I would imagine it's like broad admissibility, but...
Rules of evidence don't apply, but that's right. There would be an exchange of these things, so each side knows what to expect, and then at the hearing... Whether it's the commission or the hearing examiner who's presiding over the hearing will rule on any objections that a party might have to admissibility.
And they would be introduced as exhibits just like they would be in a trial.
That's
and
right.
If someone comes in at the meeting, the presiding person or group can admit it or not admit it.
Exactly. Okay. That's right. You got it.
So then under 3, Mark, just looking for those documents, such testimony or...
Evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got it.
Nineteen?
Yes.
20? 21?
Oh, wait. Hold on. 20.
Okay.
Just a couple spaces.
Sure.
And again, this might just be reflected in my copy, but under at the very top, under 5-8 subsection 3, it looks like there is a space between final and commissioned, an extra space, may not
be
there.
Wait, I'm sorry, 5-8B on 20?
It's 5-8-3 on page 20.
20.
Yes.
5-8? 5-8. Because my 5-8 is on page 19.
It should also maybe spill onto the top. Yeah. Wait.
Continues on the next page.
It's C3.
5-8-C-3. Okay. There we go.
Again, this is very picky. If it's not on yours, maybe it's just on mine.
What is this?
She already... Yeah.
She fixed it.
Yeah.
And then she, lowercase, the commission.
Commission
probably should be
capitalized there.
Yeah. I'm going to capitalize it.
Okay. And then it looks like there's an additional space in between two. Do you see in between objections to reports and recommendations shall be filed in writing, and then the next starts the opposing party may file.
So we're on 5-9 now?
Yeah. Looks like there's an additional space in there.
Yeah, it looks like
the last part of 5-8, the spacing looks.
Yeah, I think that I can't even remember what that's called. What is it called? Justified? I think that kind of spacing is called. In any case, this is super minor, but will work.
So I think the 5-2 and 5-3, that extra line is because of
PDF.
Well, not just PDF, but Nope, I don't want to do that. All right.
All right, it's okay.
I think
it's okay.
I think it's as good as it's going to get.
Yeah, I understand now that it was...
Yeah.
Page 21. Page 22. Page 23. I have something on 24.
Yes.
On 611, there's a line through applicant and position is in dark print. Under B on 611, there are two things that are lined through. And on G, it's lined through, but I think you have to make it pass a drug test.
Yeah, these are all pass it. It should be drug test, right? That I'll review these, but she made all those changes.
Okay.
And put it in final, because again, that was, I'm pretty sure we were all good on that. But you're right about the drug test, absolutely.
25. 26. At the
oh, wait, sorry. On 25, applications was spelled wrong. That was my catch.
That was not the one she caught. Wait, what section?
The title. I think it's because it's when it's all caps.
T-I-O-N.
Because all caps, if you don't set it the right way, it doesn't pick up
spell check. It doesn't
pick
up the spell check, which is such a glitch.
Where is it?
I got it.
Yep, I got it.
The heading.
No, she missed that one. Oh, my God. I'm going to call
her. Yeah, but it wouldn't catch it for you. I don't think that spell check catches it.
She proofed it. She read it.
Hey, listen, I think this we missed it. All of these.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, that was that. So, Lee, John, you had something on 26?
Yes, and in that top paragraph, the second line up, it's municipal service, and we had replaced municipal every place else. I'm not saying it's wrong, but is it consistent?
Oh, I see. The second to last line of that.
So that language is really out of the revised code. First of all,
I'm gonna get rid of
discharge is pursued, comma. I'm gonna get rid of from the municipal because that's the only place discharge is relevant. So I'm going to first find where my mouse went. There.
Okay.
All right. So we'll say if discharge is pursued, comma.
I like it, succinct.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, civil service is just ridiculous, and the more we can fix it without changing the substance, that we should. So.
What comes after pursued?
Just the rest of the sentence.
Municipal
pursued
service
is right there. Yep.
Oh,
so
up
we just,
here.
Yep. So we just skip out the middle. So if
okay.
Yep.
Okay. And you're going to leave municipal.
No, I took it off.
No,
he's going to,
where is it at? If discharge, cut all of this out and then skip to is pursued.
Okay.
So,
discharge
yeah.
is pursued, comma, yeah. the applicable provisions, yeah. blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
On 27, all I noticed was that the title is underlined in all the other chapters and is only bolded here.
Ooh, I have a spacing issue on 26. I don't know what.
Oh.
I'm sorry, 27, the title is...
So original appointments to police officer positions is bolded but not underlined and everywhere else.
Yep.
Good.
Well, she fixed that.
She did. Aw, darn it.
Cool. Okay. More eyes, the better.
Twenty-eight, 29, 30, 31, 32. I had a question here because we talk about written test, but we actually give an online test, and I didn't see that mentioned at all. And should it be there?
I don't think it needs to be. I think as long as it's written, whether it's online or in person, multiple choice, essay, whatever, I think that's all at your discretion.
Are you kind of talking about how, like, a writing could be anything online as well? Is that
sure.
what you, yeah, is that, like,
yeah.
that idea?
And, the other component of that is that the NTS is a video examination as well.
What do you
so
mean
they,
video? What are they?
They're looking at scenarios that are captured on video, and then the questions derive from
sure.
the, does that.
That's still
it's
a written exam.
Over that,
yeah, you know. Absolutely.
Okay.
That was 32, you said?
Yes, 33.
So I'm gonna fess up on the change that my secretary found that we, so if you go to chapter 12, which I have some, maybe on 31. 34. 30, wait, chapter 12 is on 34 in the
yes.
version?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it's on page 31, the version I'm looking at.
Maybe she worked with the spacing.
She must have worked with the spacing.
Because on 33.
So it should be temporary, and it says temporary and exceptional appointments. It should be temporary and emergency appointments.
Oh, it's just the wrong word.
What page
yeah.
are you
oh, reading? Interesting. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
34.
Okay.
That's actually a really good catch, because that's a contextual catch.
Yeah.
What is it? Emergency
appointment. This should be
emergency
up here, not exceptional.
Oh. That is a good catch.
All right. Where are we now on page?
John, you had a question on 34 as well.
Yeah, it's just the bottom line spacing.
Oh, okay. Mine looks okay. Where's your... Oh, yours looks crazy.
Oh.
Where's this on the bottom of 34?
Under
yeah,
temporary
look how,
appointments?
See, yeah, look how mine looks.
Yeah, mine looks good here,
mine's,
too.
This is what I downloaded.
Oh, yeah, who knows? I mean, sometimes...
Okay, thank you. On 35, I'll let Lee speak to this.
Can you give me the section number?
Chapter 13.
Is yours on 36, Lee,
my
where it talks about shall create an eligible
well,
list?
Well, it's that would be part of it, but the initial is on starts on 35,
okay.
Chapter 13.
Okay. This is your question from January 8th, isn't it? Okay.
It's generally, you know, about expanding on the topic.
Yep.
So, What we're saying here is that for aside from sergeant and lieutenant, if we can bring in anyone else for assistant chief or chief.
Right.
Okay. That's really up to the appointing authority, which would be the chief and
would be the mayor ultimately. That's right.
Right. So, where there's a promotion without competition, what's the basis for that? If we're then saying that there needs to be an eligible list.
Well, there wouldn't be an eligible list, but there would be competition. It would be done through a traditional interview, not necessarily even with scoring. But that's how it would work, just like it happened with Chief Lewis. And frankly, there was, never mind, I was going to say something wrong. He was just, Goff was just reclassified from captain to deputy chief. That was
right.
Not. But no, that would be done similar to how it was done with Chief Lewis. That it would just be an interview process and the appointing authority making a determination. So when it says without competition, I think it should say 13.2 should say promotion without a competitive examination is what it should say.
Oh, okay.
Because that's more accurate. There's always hopefully going to be competition, I would think.
The heading just you're
right.
It'll
track with 13.1.
It's just changing 13.2 from competition to competitive examination.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
back up on the second paragraph, the second sentence. A representative of the commission shall be entitled to be present. Shouldn't that really be representatives of the commission shall be entitled?
Yeah, that's fine. Yep.
So change a representative to capital R.
I'm just going to say representatives of the commission, right?
So here's, you know what, Lee, I think this is really your thing. I have a couple minor questions. I'll save them for the end because I feel like maybe there's more to your stuff.
Well, so basically, if there is a sergeant's examination,
mm-hmm.
there should be a description of what the elements of the examination would be.
Right.
And there should be a score to each of those elements,
right.
which would then produce a total score.
Correct.
Okay. Is that reflected here?
Let me see.
That's what my question, I mean, centrally goes to. And again, I don't know if this is handled under our bargaining agreement or not.
It's not handled under the bargaining
okay.
agreement.
So okay. there's a vacancy in the sergeant's position.
Right.
Five guys or five officers apply. With that, there should be a defined process and scoring for each of those elements.
Right.
And a ranking.
Correct. And all of that would happen on a case-by-case, promotion-by-promotion basis in consultation with the administration and this commission. So basically what would happen is, so I don't think we need to set something out that says this is the rule. I don't think we should set something out that says this is the rule for all cases. So for example, sometimes there might be a requirement to get a certain minimum score on a written exam before you go onto the oral assessment. You may want to get rid of that down the road for whatever reason. So what would happen is the administration would come to you, say, hey, we need to do a sergeant's exam. And okay, what do you want the sergeant's exam? They would should present to you what they want the sergeant's exam to look like, and you should say, "Yep, we're good with it. Go ahead and post it," and that would describe all the components and the details that you just mentioned.
Okay, but that it is a matter of practice, and then a member of the commission would be invited to participate in that process.
Correct.
As we've said at the
right.
at the top. So again, I'm just thinking if someone feels, if an officer, because it has to be an officer
right.
internally,
yep.
feels that they were treated unfairly, what do they do? Did they come to us?
They would come to you, that's right. They would come to you and file some sort of appeal or a, objection to some component of the exam.
So they would say, and then...
And not to the union.
Right, because it's
right.
not in their collective bargaining agreement.
And
exactly.
Then, and then we would say to the appointing authority, show me your list.
Correct.
Show me how you derived this list.
Right, depending upon what the allegation is. Sometimes the allegation is some of these questions were unfair or unclear and they shouldn't even be considered. I've seen that happen. Sometimes it would be, hey, they did the math wrong, or how did they get to this, or something like that. So, but that's right. And then if they're making the objection, they would have the burden to establish that they're right, but it would involve the appointing authority coming to you and saying, here's what we did, or here's the information from the testing organization, here's what they did.
Okay, and that would be sort of the oral boards that if we were included on, we would have known about it, but if it was an outside...
Maybe not. Yeah, you may not even know about it because it may be something that nobody knows about, even despite the fact you're included. And again, sometimes it's... because it might be details within the exam that nobody thinks about until after it's questioned. But then, so a hearing would have to be scheduled, a public meeting, not a hearing per se, but a public meeting would be scheduled, and the officer who's challenging, and probably their union, sure, their union if they want, and the administration would all be here, and you'd hear what they have to say and make a decision.
So then that links to the next practical application of this. Someone is appointed sergeant by the chief.
Mm-hmm.
That they are given a probationary period of 120 days. They are not successful in their probationary period. Then the list, which has scores on it, becomes the determining factor on the next candidate.
Right. That's what just happened, I think,
that's,
a couple months ago.
That's not what the next page says.
What's that?
It says the last sentence on the first paragraph says, upon vacancy in a sergeant or lieutenant position, the chief shall select one of the top five candidates for the position.
Right, so it's still based...
The top one.
No, it doesn't. It does not on purpose. So I was answering at least... It's still based on the scores. It's just you don't have to take the top candidate.
Okay.
Right. So there's discretion built in.
But the actual process itself is left to the chief to determine what the elements of that process are going
to
be.
Yeah, with subject to your okay, though. I mean, sure, you're going to defer to the chief, but if the chief comes in and says, you know, something crazy, you guys can say, no, that's not the way we're going to do it.
But
that's not likely to happen.
But no. I don't see it happening, but, you know, we're talking about...
Sure. We don't want to redo these. It's another city attorney who's going to be redoing these.
Right. So
we're bringing you back.
What I'm getting to is that if there's a vacancy in the sergeant's position, it needs to be posted internally.
Correct.
And we should be notified.
100%, yeah.
And then the process and timetable for that process should be, we should be notified of that.
Absolutely.
And then to the extent that we are invited to participate in it, we would also have the ability to look at what the scoring is.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
That's all I'm trying to get clarified.
And again, when they notify you, if you see something screwy, any one of you, you can say, hey, wait a second, stop, we need a meeting. And again, you know, public meeting, et cetera, to go over it. So
right.
You have the right to flag it.
And the chief should be aware of this process.
Oh, absolutely.
Notifying us and all of that.
Because on that point, I've noticed a huge drop off. Like, I feel like we don't get notified at all anymore.
Yeah, and you should be notified.
Yeah,
I was just thinking that sitting here.
So my understanding of this, that's it, the point is, there have not been any new officers hired since Heston and Sink.
Yep.
Right. So that's been just about a year, because they started the academy in February of last year.
Uh-huh.
There is at least one promotion.
Thank you.
For a sergeant vacancy.
Yeah. That let there be.
Occurred, I think, what was it, sometime in November?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Sometime in November, where Luke Schwartz was appointed.
Right.
We did not know of that vacancy.
You should have been notified that there is...
Yeah, because I'm noticing shells in
right.
here.
Yeah. You should have been notified, and that's something we definitely will convey. I will, and you guys can too, to the mayor and to the chief, that you should be notified when there's a vacancy and there's you should be notified when there's a need to have a test. And then you should be notified when a vacancy is filled.
Right.
Or in this case,
or
you were
we
also,
should be involved in that
well,
selection
right.
process.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, not in the selection process of who to pick, which candidate of the top five to pick. You should be involved in the testing process that gets us the scores.
Well, it says the commission shall be notified of and involved with the promotion process within the police department.
Right. Mm-hmm. The promotion process, but ultimately it's the chief's call,
right.
Subject to the mayor's veto of who he wants
right.
to promote.
And then the next sentence is what I think is even more restrictive.
Right.
Shall be entitled to be present during
right.
all aspects of the promotional process. I mean, that's broad.
Yeah.
All aspects of the promotional process.
Right.
It's broad for you. Entitled doesn't mean you have to be there. But again, it's broad
like
because you guys oversee it.
But
technically.
So to Rachel's point, that past history, for as long as we've been involved, we have always been invited to participate not only in the promotional examinations, but also the
original
examinations,
yeah.
particularly for the oral boards.
With the tests,
right.
Yes, when there's a need to have a test, and then...
Right, and that should absolutely continue. Nothing in these rules should change that, although it sounds like maybe that we're not following the rules as closely as we should.
Right,
so
that
needs
and
to
change.
I thought that was just an administration change, but when I see this, I'm like, oh, look,
and that's
it's actually
what
there.
Triggered my questioning on this section is that... if these are the rules and this is the basis in which someone might file an appeal of that, then we, and it's our responsibility, because prima facie, if the rules aren't followed, then that would...
That's a problem.
Then,
that's right.
Then that taints the promotion, and we don't want that.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's exactly right.
No one wants
that. No one wants that. That's not good for anyone.
Right.
So
we that the idea then is you review this with the mayor
and the chief.
Ultimately to the chief.
Yep.
And as we get to council,
right.
That will be clarified.
This
Absolutely.
Isn't even a change. This is just.
This is not a change. That's
right.
It's just that people have gotten lax with it apparently, and that needs to go back to they need to go back following the rules.
On 36, it says the commission shall create an eligible list.
That's what I had flagged.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, do we
right.
do this?
Lee
and
I talked about
okay.
it. We've never seen a list that
well,
I
you
know
should
of.
Be. You shouldn't. So again, that the when you say they create, you're going to take the information provided to you and formally approve an eligible list based on everyone's scores. That's the
We've
way it
not
should.
Been doing
okay,
that.
We need to do that.
I remember doing that with our old. Was it under? Do you
we
remember
did.
Doing that on the whiteboard?
Well,
we used to do that.
We did that with officers. I mean, for certainly that was at the end of the
yes.
last
okay.
stage of
okay.
that process was the oral boards in which scores were totaled and offers.
We knew, but I don't remember their ever submitting to us. A list to approve.
It wasn't quite that formal, I don't think, on what that was.
But the promotional exams, it never.
Yep.
Yeah, this should be formal. This should be a formal process because, again, your approval of that is part of your job to oversee the process to make sure it's fair and in conformance with the rules. So it needs to start coming to you. And again, it's easy to create a list. You just look at the numbers, assuming the numbers are reported to you accurately, but it still needs to come from you.
Right. But then just without running this into the ground, we're getting back to what those criteria would be. And so that criteria for promotion would need to be defined.
And approved by
and
you
right.
before
so maybe,
the exam
you know,
is even
maybe,
noticed.
Right. Based on performance reviews by supervisory officers,
right.
by oral boards,
whatever
those elements are, we check off, that's how it goes, and then it would also then apply because then there's an eligibility list with a score.
Right.
And so if someone washes out in their probationary period, then you can go down to
which
the
is
next.
Just what happened.
Right.
Again, it didn't come to you, but that's exactly what happened when an officer was demoted during his probationary period. One sergeant, new sergeant, was demoted during his probationary
right.
period, and they went to then it went back to the list. I think they promoted the guy number two on the list because I got an email from the union saying what's going on, and I told him.
Right,
I mean,
but we didn't even know what the list was.
Right.
Right,
and you should know what the list was, just like you should know. And I advise the chief to inform you in writing. That of the probationary demotion to inform the commission in writing.
Well,
I only learned of it when I saw the form here. Did you?
That's when
I
asked. I
mean, technically
I,
that suffices,
I,
but that's not
I,
what I wanted to see.
Yeah, I mean that wasn't there wasn't any direct communication from the chief, formally, informally on it.
Right.
Not that there would indicate any confidence. Question.
No, but
that,
right.
That if, again, if we're investing the time on how this is supposed to operate, then...
Well, and again, civil service law, so the Chapter 124 of the revised code specifically says that a probationary employee can be removed or demoted anytime during their probationary period, but, and I'm not I'm paraphrasing here, but the appointing authority needs to notify the employee of the reason, usually it's just unsatisfactory work performance, it doesn't need, and notify the Civil Service Commission of that reason.
And is 120 days standard as
for promotions?
Probationary periods? Because that's what we have.
For promotions it is. Because, you know, you're promoting somebody you already knew. Obviously, an initial hire is a year for cops.
But we have in here, there's nothing less than 120 days for all probationary periods.
Yeah.
That's standard.
Yeah.
I think that's what we updated in our policy.
It can go as low as 60, but that's 60 is absurdly short. I mean, you know, maybe a custodian, you know, if you're...
So I think for now we could keep moving because I really want to hit that goal. But yep, I think I will have follow-up questions, Mark, just on what this actually looks like, since I don't think we've been quite doing it.
No, I think we need to address that, but not today.
Yeah, not today. I agree,
the
not
next
today.
Time that we have police openings of any sort, then we should have a conversation about...
Yeah, just formalizing what it is so that we
right.
all know what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
And then also just so that, honestly, Mark, if you can just go like what that as a bullet point of what that list process should look like. So then the next time it comes up,
right.
it's not an emergency. We know what to do, but not today.
Yeah, but and again, I'm happy to be there when that
yeah.
all is discussed,
yeah.
too.
Okay.
I apologize. My wife's having trouble with the car.
She's
finish?
On her own now, John, or what?
Do you need to take off?
She has the car, and we just haven't connected on the calls. So
okay.
I apologize.
We're rolling along.
We're
getting there.
We're almost there.
Okay, 37, 38. Oops. 39, 40.
40, I just noticed, I bet she caught it.
Can you give me a section number?
Sure. Chapter 16, layoffs, reductions in force, layoffs slash reductions in force. And then 16.3, abolishment of positions. A3, I have a bolded B. Maybe it's been fixed.
A3.
Yeah, so my B is bolded.
Yes,
you mean under it
too.
Yeah, it's fixed.
Oh, okay.
You mean where it says determination in filing a statement?
For lack of work, which is expected to be. That's.
Oh yeah, it's fixed too.
Okay.
Sorry, I thought you meant the letter B.
Okay.
Okay. But I
got
you.
Got it.
Fixed.
Perfect.
Fiscal court.
Okay, 41.
I have something. Should appointing authority be capitalized in 16.4? Because we use sentence case, not sentence case. We've been capitalizing similar words everywhere else.
That should be, in the title it should be. That looks weird.
Okay.
Come on.
I have one other just quick question going back. But
sure.
We don't. It's not dealing with the text.
Yeah. Just right
where
there.
We have a chapter 14, one where it says reinstatements after resignation.
Mm-hmm.
Does that also apply to the police department?
There is... Hang on, let me get to that section so I'm not just speaking off the top of my head.
Do you have this one?
All the way back to, sorry.
On 41.
The tie shall be resolved.
I didn't, but good.
Lee, you said
speak
chapter
up.
14.
Right, I'm on page 37.
Sorry,
I have a problem with my
cursor here. All right. Reinstatement after, let's say, an employment contract. It does apply to the police as well. There are specific requirements also in the revised code that would amplify this for police officers in particular.
Okay.
Like maybe having to take a physical exam and stuff like that.
Okay, so that we don't have to worry about.
Right, it applies to everyone.
And then the seniority following the reinstatement, is that a part of the negotiated agreement?
Yes. A break in service, if I'm recalling correctly, anytime you're more than 30 days. So they would start over at the beginning from seniority, although they could start at an advanced step the pay wage scale.
Lose their top choice for shifts and stuff like
for
that.
For shifts
right?
and vacation, that's right.
Okay. Back to 41?
Yep, 42.
Wait, on 41 we were missing a B. Maybe it's in under tiebreaker. It goes...
The event two of the tie shall be resolved. Yep. I gotcha. It is now
good
there.
Good catch. Okay, 42. 43. 44. 45. 46. 47. Why are political activity and politics in dark?
Bolded.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
what is
I guess
dark?
You're right. We don't need that. You're right.
What's in bold?
Political activity
A with a inset for purposes of this rule, political activity and politics.
Yeah, I said she caught that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, 48. 49. 50.
Can you give me the section number, John?
Yes. Chapter 19, 19:1.
Okay.
Let me see why I...
I remember. It was your phrasing, John. The shall be during.
You
pointed out that phrasing, yeah. I think it was just a question on
the time of every hour.
Second line.
It's right out of the revised code. It is weird. It's weird phrasing, you're right, but it's right out of the revised code.
Okay. That's why I asked questions.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you did.
51.
Hold on. Okay. Hold on 1 second. Oh, yeah, this is just going to be trouble, but I'll just point it out. I'm not saying we do it, but I think that this chapter makes a lot more sense directly following chapter 5, which is about the process.
Chapter 20, you mean?
Yeah. So the time limit for filing appeals makes a lot more sense to follow everything that's about the chapter 19 orders. It's a little bit displaced here, but it would be the remedy would be changing all the page numbers. So I'm just pointing it out. I don't think it makes sense that it's stranded here, but I don't really care enough. I just think it makes more sense.
If I were an employee and I was filing and I didn't have an attorney, would I look
all the way back? I don't know.
All the way back.
There's a table of contents.
What?
There is a table of contents.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, but I don't care that much either. It's okay. It just doesn't make sense. It should go after 5. But that's just a point.
Yeah.
I guess maybe it's after having read all of these rules and... For example, like the disability and other separation and layoffs, now, once you've read the context of your own situation, here's the time limits. But
yeah.
I'm really good at spinning things. So
I have a practical point to make, and if you guys still want to move, we can move it. The formatting of this thing is screwed up, and I'm afraid we move it. We're going to all need to do one full review of the entire thing again. Again, it just makes me really nervous given this formatting, unless it's typed over by scratch. So
yeah,
we can move
it. It feels fragile. I mean, and I guess on that point, is there a way, like, is it going to be like this forevermore? Like, we can't select on, put it in a new document, and it's better, right? That's never
going to
work.
No, it doesn't work. It's going to have to be retyped by somebody at some point.
How about at the end of 5, let me get to 5.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Say
C20. I know what you're going to say,
I mean, I think that's a fine workaround. I mean, I think the tidiest workaround is to move it. But again, I think that's just fine. I think for fairness, directing somebody where to look, especially if someone pro se.
Well, why is chapter 19 at 19? Why not? Would it make more
because
sense
the formatting's too difficult?
Well,
no,
because,
you know,
I mean, chapter 19 used to be like chapter 30 something.
Right. Like, yeah, is that the way that it should end? Because if someone needs to refer back to what chapter 19 is, they have to go to chapter 19.
Well,
I think
it does say
so.
Here, furnishing of chapter 19 orders.
That's a different chapter 19, right?
No, it's the same chapter 19.
I mean, we're not talking about chapter 19 in this document.
On page 10, it requirements for chapter 19 orders.
I figured chapter 19 meant something that was a reference to something bigger, like
nope.
the charter or the OAC or...
This. So let me see what 19 is.
It's tenure and discipline, so...
Yeah, so then it's correct. Because chapter 19 order is an order submitted, an order disciplining an employee pursuant to chapter 19 of these rules.
Then
but in
need
chapter,
to put something about 20.
In chapter 5, I will say, hang on, let me get there, so I'm not just spouting out crap.
It's so funny that chapter 19 just refers to this. The whole time, it felt so chapter 119-ish, you know what I mean,
oh,
from
I
my
see,
world.
Oh, I see, because you're used to that, yeah, me too. I mean, they call it, in the state level, they call it chapter 124.34 orders, because 124.34 is the section of the revised code that deals with discipline of employees.
Discipline of, oh, okay. Interesting.
So, I guess then, if we're looking at this, chapter 19, is it possible to renumber those chapters? I mean, not just conceptually, we're talking about, would that be more coherent if it were produced as, you know, chapter 5 or requirements for chapter 19 orders?
Well, I think we're going to let sleeping dogs lie on 19, okay. I think, right? Because 19 is...
I don't see any reason to renumber it. I mean,
okay.
Any way you look at it, it's going to mean, why is examinations chapter 6? I just happen to be on that page.
So, right. Mark, what I think...
I just condensed what you used to have.
Right.
So I think, are you going to create a new subsection F that refers people to... Are you going to add a sentence somewhere that refers...
I'm going to say, in chapter 5, I'm adding... Just adding a sentence that says, see chapter 20 for... Concerning timelines for appeals.
On what page?
It's just at the end of chapter 5.
That's 611 is the last part of it.
I wasn't even going to make it a new section. I'm just going to say,
see chapter 20,
concerning
timelines
for appeals to the Civil Service Commission.
I think he's putting it on page 21. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm on the last page for me.
He's on a different...
Yeah, my secretary fixed a bunch of the pagination and space things, so I'm on different pages.
Pagination, okay.
Well, it's a big word.
Yeah.
Abolishments, paginations, I mean, this is like...
You know what else is a word?
Some serious vocab.
Grievance
here.
Is a word, but grievance, plural, is not a word.
And grievances isn't a
grievance,
word?
Grievance, a grievant.
Because
grievance is a word. Grievance gets flagged as plural.
It's
gets
funny.
Flagged.
How about grievances?
Grievances does not get flagged by who knows.
So okay,
knows
just to clarify. So see chapter 20 concerning timelines for appeals to the Civil Service Commission.
Yep.
Got it. And then that will be the practical solve.
See why.
Okay. Fantastic.
Come, please. I see why.
Today.
Okay.
Today is Feb 4.
Now, I'm assuming City Council will need to see you 5-6 times over the next year before the... No, I'm just...
So what will happen now is you will send out via email this version.
As soon as you say yay and my secretary fixes the, you know... Any small things left, like the table of contents and stuff like that, I will send it to you folks. I will also send it to the mayor, or Emily. I'll send it to Emily, and Emily can send it to the mayor, or whatever. And then City Council will decide when they want to see you folks, and, you know, obviously coordinate with you when you're available.
So we'll just...
In 2026.
So once we get it, we'll just take our copy, make sure that it reflects... Our understanding.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then again, if there are any typos, please respond to me
only,
or me and Emily,
yeah.
So we're not violating sunshine law. If there's anything substantive, then we would have to have another meeting to talk about it.
To Emily. And then.
All right, so I'm saving the version we just went over, and you guys, somebody needs to make a motion.
Move that we adopt the civil service rules as edited on this date.
Well, should we wait till we see them, or what do you think?
Yeah, I would like it to say adopt this subject to our...
To a final review?
That's fine. Okay. We can do that. If you're okay with that, right?
And then, right. And then we will have the date to be determined as the final date for this rule.
Mm-hmm.
For
the is there date. A second to... Would you restate your motion, or I?
Sure. I move that we adopt these rules subject to revisions that will be forthcoming.
Second?
I second that motion.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The
aye.
Motion has passed.
All right. Given our time frame, we should probably be working on revisions now so it can be done by 2030.
Yeah, right. What's our next milestone?
2026 is too close.
Yeah.